take out your Bibles and turn back again to the book of 1 Corinthians. And today we're going to be back in a very famous passage of Scripture, but we have a reason for this. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we're going to read verses 1 through 3. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 3. And in this passage it says this, Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels. So he's saying, so even though I could speak at this heavenly level with beautiful communication and beautiful words, if I have not love, I'm just making noise. I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but if I have not love, then on the scale of heaven it registers a zero. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body away to be burned as a sacrifice, but have not love, it profits me how much? It profits me nothing. So with that backdrop in mind, I want to finish the study that I started last week today called Love is Meeting Needs. Love is Meeting Needs. And last week we studied, our goal was to come to an understanding of how love flows from God to us and how we come to know that love, to understand that love, how that love comes to the place where it's revealed to us. I mean, you can say to somebody, God is love, to somebody who doesn't know God, and they may hear that as an intellectual concept, but they don't understand it if they're not in a position for that love to be able to come to them and make itself real to them. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, concepts are great, but I'm looking for realities. And that's what God is looking for. God is looking to make himself known to you. And you know how he makes himself known to you? Primarily by meeting your needs. Now, that's not saying we're the center of the universe and God came to be our butler and to wait on us and give us everything we want. If you're hearing that, you're misunderstanding what I'm saying. God is who he is regardless of what our response is to it is. Okay? He is love, the Bible tells us. He revealed himself to Moses, I am that I am. I am what I am. Okay? But then he makes who he is known to us by coming to us and filling in the gaps in areas of our life that we lack, in areas of our life where we have need. He comes and he steps into those areas, and that's how we know by experience who we hear that he is. And so for somebody that's sitting out there tonight, you may be waiting for God to come and hit you in the head with a crowbar to reveal himself to you. But what you need to do is you need to open your life to him, and then you will see that what he has been saying to you is true. Don't do like Parkey did and wait for the crowbar moment. Because once you get hit in the head with God's crowbar, it'll knock you to your knees. And man, it'll shatter your world. And by the time that happened, I mean, I was at the bottom of everything. God has a desire to reveal himself to you, okay, because he is love. But for instance, let's talk about this, how God has met our need and revealed to us who he is. For just a second, let's recap for just a second. I've got a slide I want to show you that shows some of the needs that we all have as humans. Okay, every single person in this room has a need for forgiveness. Everyone does. Everybody has a need to be forgiven by God. Some see that need met, and some don't. But to those that are willing to open their life to God, Then God reveals himself to them as Jehovah, and that was the name he revealed himself to Moses. I am that I am. He will reveal himself to us as Jehovah Tsidkenu, and that's the Lord, my righteousness. Everybody say mine. It's mine. Okay, he is righteousness before I ever accept him. But I don't know it until I open my life to him. And then he comes in and he makes himself real in that area. And not only makes himself real, but meets my need in that area. And then I know him as righteousness. He becomes my righteousness. We all have a need in our lives for change. Anybody else in here need to change other than me? And I'm not deifying that need. That's another mistake we can make, is make that the main thing in our life is our change. But we all have a need to change. And in that need, God reveals himself to us as Jehovah Makedesh, the Lord my sanctifier. The Lord who is changing me and making me more like him day by day. We all have a need for healing, emotional and physical. And he reveals himself to us as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord my healer. Everybody say my healer. My healer. We all have a need for guidance. He reveals himself as Jehovah Rohi, the Lord my shepherd. We all have a need for provision. And he comes to us as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider. We all have a need for victory. Every single one of us face things and we need victory. And he comes to us as Jehovah Nisei, the Lord my banner. The banner of victory that flies over my life, and his banner over me is love. We all have a need for companionship. And he comes to me as Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Lord, I need you. He says, I am here. I love that. And we all battle fear. And all have a need to have our fears abated in God. And he comes to us as Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is what? Peace. The Lord is peace. And we know God by how he comes in and meets those needs in our lives. Because love is a verb. Love is active. Love is not a picture that we look at and gaze at. Love is something that comes among us and goes to work and begins to meet the needs of the people around it. We also learn that the love God pours out on us is a specific type of love called agape in the Greek. We know it as unconditional love. It's based not upon a feeling, but upon a what? A choice. A choice made by the giver. If we have received it from God, then we have to give it to others. But as believers, if we fail to release unconditional love to others, who has the problem? Okay, come on now. Wake up. Slap your neighbor. If they have any hair, pull it. As believers, according to the scripture, if we're having trouble loving someone else and just can't seem to love them, who has the problem? They have it or we have it?
We
have it. Why? Because we have an open channel between us and the Lord, right? And if God is love, he says, as the Bible says, we love because he first what? Loved us. We're able to love because he first loved us. We're able to give because he downloaded into our lives. So we truly have no excuse for not being able to love somebody. But Pastor, you don't know the person. I don't have to know them. God loved me and I know who I was. And there's no excuse, brothers and sisters. And we can't blame it on somebody else when we can't love them. Well, if they'd change, then I could love them. The Lord's looking at us and said, if you'd change, you could love them. If you would change, you could love them. So with this knowledge in hand, how do we transmit God's love from ourselves to other people? By how? Oh, come on. By meeting their needs. By meeting their needs. Same way God transmitted love to us, is we transmit love to the people in our lives by meeting their needs. Oh, this is going to be fun today. This is going to be fun today. Now, today we're going to go in further depth. We're going to go in further in the depth of our love for one another. We're going to find out what it means to die to self, so that we can exhibit true, agape, unconditional love to the people in our lives, our co-workers, our neighbors, our church family, holy mackerel. And beyond that, here's a big holy mackerel, our spouses, our children. We're going to go to the place where we're going deeper in our love for one another. Now, how do we get to the point to where we truly love each other with the type of love that we have received from God and we're commanded to release to others? How do we get to that place? I'm glad you asked, because that's what we're going to talk about. Now, the first thing that we must have within us, and we must open our life up to be able to love others with the type of love that God has loved us with, is this. We must discover their love language. We must discover their love language. Everybody say, discover their love language. Now, everybody knows love. All of us know love in some particular ways. Every single one of us understand love by some things happening in our lives. But I have also learned that people are different. And everybody really understands love a little bit differently. Okay? And it's impossible to love others if you don't know what their needs are. Okay, if God's given us a goal to love other people, not a goal, but a command. If God's given us a command to love other people, then you know what? You better take as a study in your life how they understand and know love. You better take it seriously, because we're going to give an account for how we love other people in our lives. Oh my God. You could have gone all day and not said that. Well, it's true. We're going to give an account by how we've loved other people. Are we going to be so hypocritical that we receive God's love and then not give it away? God's going to look at that as hypocrisy. So if I'm commanded to love my spouse, and we're going to be talking some to spouses and husbands and wives today as well. If God's given me a command to love Rhonda, then I better make it my goal to study her and find out how she understands love. Otherwise, I may want to do it, but I'm going to be hitting and missing in the dark. I may hit it sometimes and I may not sometimes. Now, if your spouse is here, look at them, if they're somewhere around you. And if they're not, I just want you to gaze at the people around you. You don't have to gaze in their eyes or anything. Just look at them around you. I guarantee you, that person you're looking at, if I were to give you a test today on needs, most of you, including you guys that are married, would not know what the true needs of the person you're looking at are. You wouldn't know. We've given this test to a lot of people that were married. And then they walk in there and they say, well, do you know what your wife's first three needs are? I never thought of it. Well, you know, fail. Okay, we mark fail on the thing, you know. We got to do something different. I never studied it. That's what they're saying. Never made it a priority. Okay? All right. Or they go, sure I do. Give me that paper. Then the wife said, now give it to the wife. Now, wife, you put your first three needs on this piece of paper. Now y'all exchange them and see how close you are. Most of the time, they're wrong. And they go, how did I get that wrong? Okay, because we're not studying. And I'm going to get further into why we get it wrong here in just a second. Okay? But we're going to have to get an idea about what the person's needs really are that we're commanded to love. We have to take responsibility to discover those needs. And there are resources out there that can assist you. And some of them are real in-depth. Real in-depth. But there's one that's pretty simple called the Five Love Languages. Okay? That makes it pretty simple. Okay, at a general level, that you can read and kind of begin to get an idea generally about how your spouse understands love. How they know when you transmit love to them, what channels they understand love through. And to just give you a little bit of an overview of these five languages, I've got a little video that we're going to watch here for just a second. So you guys go ahead and show that. Thank you.
connection with loss of words. We used to hide behind closed doors. We'll put up walls between us. And oh, how we misunderstood love. A whole other language we'd have to learn. Now it's easier said than done. Oh, but now we know better, cause if love is a language, I'll use words. If love is a gift, I'll give till it hurts. If love's affection, I'll move closer. Loss of affection with loss of words. We'd run and hide behind closed doors, or put up walls between us. Not always easier said than done. With a whole other language we'd have to learn, and just to steer us back on course. Yeah, but now we know better, cause if love is a language, I'll use words. If love is a gift, I'll give. Tell it hurts. If love's affection, I'll move closer to be only yours. Love is time, you have all mine. Love is to serve, always by your side. And I'll always find a way to say I love you more. With a touch, with a gift, with a song.
So, there were five ways, they're real simple ways, in which you can transmit love. One was words of affirmation. Anybody say words of affirmation? That's I love you, that's building someone up, that's saying things, blessing things into their life, okay, verbally. The other is physical touch. All the husbands said yeah on that one, but physical touch, and you know, us touching one another, it lets us know that we love one another. Okay? The third way was acts of service. Okay? So that was getting their hands dirty and helping out. All right? The fourth way was gifts, the giving of gifts. And the fifth way was quality time. Now, every single one of us need all of those. But in a lot of people's lives, there's one or two primary ways that they really understand love. When you are the person who's the giver, there's one or two primary ways the one you're wanting to love understands in that cycle. They're in those five needs. And so you need to discover what the primary ones are as well as fulfilling all of those. And failure to discover those who God has called you to love, failure to discover what their love language or their need is simply laziness. Okay? And laziness is simply selfishness. And guess what selfishness is? Selfishness is the opposite of agape love, not hatred. Because agape love is giving of yourself for someone else. Laying down, Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, than to say, I love you. Greater love hath no man than this, to lay down his what? His life for his friend. Okay? And so that's what we're called to do with one another. And if we're not doing that, and we're just thinking about ourselves only, then we're in selfishness. And selfishness is actually the opposite of agape love. You need to discover how the people you know love. Now let me tell you, I was in a marriage conference one time, And they separated the men and the women. And they had the men in there, and the speaker asked a question. And I think Mike Johnson might have been in there that day. But the speaker asked a question, and he said this. He said, "What is romance?" He asked the men that. Well, can you imagine what the men's answers were? Okay, men, can you imagine what the men's answers were? What is romance? Can you imagine? Flowers, a nice dinner, a card, giving her a card, writing her a note, a negligee, whatever. You could imagine the questions that the men have. And one wise man stood up in there and said, "It's whatever she says it is."
Amen.
Now that's a man who learned that he better love his wife through her love language and not through his own ideas and thoughts about how things go. All right? So number two, that goes right into number two. What's the second thing we need to do? We need to stop evaluating their love language versus your own. You need to stop evaluating their love language versus your own. This is the point where many well-meaning people fail. They want to love, and they go on a search to discover their loved one's needs and love language, but they fail to love them because of two primary reasons. One is they don't like the way their loved one understands love, or they don't like the needs that they have. Okay? Let's stop and camp on that one for just a second. For many, many years, I did not understand Rhonda's love language. There was a time I didn't even want to understand, if you want to be honest. I didn't want to understand. And then, after you've beat your head against the wall for a long time, figuring out you're missing the mark, and God begins to convict you, then I went on a little bit of a journey to try to figure out what her love language was. And you know what? You're going to have to sit down, men and women, and ask your spouse, too. How do you know that I love you? What can I do that will help you understand I love you? How can... The love that I have in my heart, how do you understand it? How do you know it? And so I sat down finally and began to ask, after being hard-headed for a long time, asked Rhonda how she understood love. And when she told me how she understood love, I didn't like it. I didn't like them. I didn't like how she understood it. I didn't want to go clearing out flower beds. I didn't want to wash dishes. I didn't want to do toilets. I didn't want to vacuum floors. I didn't want to cook meals. I didn't want to do any of those kind of things because I was lazy. And I was also struggling with an archaic and unbiblical idea of what marriage really is. Okay? And so I didn't want to do those things. Well, you know, we bumped along because I didn't want to know them. And finally, the Holy Spirit told me this. He said, "It's a good thing that Jesus didn't go by what his flesh wanted to do when it came to meeting your need." And that got me. Because when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, in his flesh, he did not want to go through that. But he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but what? Thy will be done, O God." And so I had to come to the place in releasing love, especially to my spouse, where I said, "Not my will, but thy will be done, O Lord." Now, by the time we finally got to this place, we were at each other's throats, pretty much. And I take responsibility for it. And before her, to this day, I fall down a lot in showing love to my wife. But by the time that this revelation first began to get into me, we were already in a pretty bad way. We were still married, but you know how you are. You're married. And you come in and you're married to somebody you don't like. You know what I mean? You get to that place where everybody's needs are going unmet and neither one of you. Okay? Or both of you are beginning to get in shutdown process. You understand what I mean? You're shutting down and you're going into survival mode and you're angry underneath the surface. And so when God finally broke through on me, I went in there and I began to express love the way that she understood it, and she thought I was trying to manipulate her to get sex or something. When I did it, do you understand what I'm saying? Because she thought that guy doesn't do anything unless it's for a selfish motivation. Nothing. So this is the same thing, same thing. And you know what? When I went in there and started doing some things for her love language, because you know what her love language is? Acts of service. And I thought, man, why can't it be flowers? That's easy. Phone call, delivery. You know what I mean? Why can't it be words of affirmation? That's mine. Why can't it be physical touch? You know what I mean? I mean, I went through all that stuff because mine are physical touch and words of affirmation. Hers are acts of service. And what's the other one? Huh? That's about it, really, with her. It really is. She's got one main way. And I didn't like acts of service. I really didn't. I thought, I don't want to do all that stuff. I was lazy. And the Lord had to really convict me. And he said, this is a problem, not between you and her, but between you and me. That's what he told me. And that's the only way I obeyed Pastor Bob, because I knew it was a problem between he and I, and I didn't want to have problems between he and I. We were having problems, and I was kind of okay with that to a degree. I mean, that was just part of it. But I didn't want to have a problem with he and I when he said, this is a problem between you and me. He said, because I'm telling you something, you're saying you're not going to do it. So that's a disobedience rebellion issue. And he said, somebody's going to have to die to themselves. Well, let her do it. The Lord said, I'm talking to you, big boy. I'm holding you accountable today. Choose you this day whom you will serve. The gods of your fathers or me. And so I finally had to say, okay, Lord, I'll do whatever. And you know, after going in there and she looked at me a few times, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? You don't ever do this. You never do it. Why are you doing it? And then I told the Lord, when the first time she said that to me, I said, see, she's an idiot. That's what I said to him. I said, she's an idiot. I'm telling you. I'm telling you, she's crazy. She needs to be in an asylum. And the Lord, you know, he spoke to me. He says, why are you doing this? Are you doing this to get a response from her? Or are you doing it because I told you to? So I said, okay, I'll do it because you told me to. And he said, and by the way, do it with a good attitude too. And so I did, and then it wasn't long until she came in the kitchen one day, and I'm doing my deal. It's kind of like that guy was doing. And she came in, and she just started crying. She said, the Lord's really convicting me that I need to love. And she said, you're trying. And, you know, really, as pitiful as I was doing some things, it was really just trying. I've learned a little more over the years. But do you see what I'm saying? And I was trying to evaluate her love language. I didn't like her love language because I wanted her to understand mine. I didn't like the needs that she had. Okay? The second is you don't have the need that your loved one has, so why do they need it? Now, we're going to get down where we live here now on this one. Okay, look, first of all, some of you guys and ladies are going to have to understand the first one. You're going to have to say, it doesn't matter if I like it or not. And that's what God told me. He said, I didn't ask you if you liked it. He said, I told you to do it. All right, so everybody said, just do it. Do it. Do it. Quit making excuses, because as long as you're excusing it, the problem's between you and Jesus. You can't blame that on your spouse or anybody else in your life you're supposed to love. Okay? And the second one was, you don't have that need, so why should they have it? So you don't need it. You see what I'm saying? I mean, some people, they don't need to have somebody tell them they love them all the time. They really don't. They don't need to have somebody tell them I love you and build them up, because that's just really not that great of a need in their life. Now, everybody needs it every so often. And so, my love language is words of affirmation, but theirs is not, and they don't ever say that to me, then you know what? I'm still not understanding love the way that it comes, and I understand it. Okay? And I said, well, why do I have to tell them I love them? They know that. Why do I have to say something to them? Why do I have to build them up? We know the Bible does tell us to build one another up and the Lord Jesus, and it tells us that we're supposed to do those things. And if I'm with somebody and that's a need that they have in their life, then I need to fulfill that role. I need to begin to step into that role. And I need to quit judging and say, well, I don't have that need, so therefore it shouldn't be a need. Listen, that's living in magical thinking, la-la land. Just because you sit there and say, well, they shouldn't have it, doesn't mean it's going to go away. And they're just going to be sitting around going, I don't think my wife or my husband loves me. And the next thing you know, they'll be in a counseling session and say, I don't think they love me. Well, he never tells me. He never builds me up. He never says anything to me. Well, why? Well, she ought not have that need. She ought to be mature like me. Like I am. Well, let me tell you what. Let her quit washing your shorts for a while. We'll see how you feel. You understand what I mean? See, quit making your food. Quit washing your underwear and stuff. And then we'll see who's squealing. We're just getting down where we are.
Amen.
Okay? So you can live in la-la land all you want to. All right, but it doesn't make things change. And you know what? There's sometimes we get to the place in our lives where some of us get older and we don't, our things happen in our bodies and we don't feel sexual needs like we used to. I have not gotten to that place yet, but you know, or I have not gone through that sickness yet or something. And I'm saying I shouldn't have said that because this is serious, okay? But, I mean, some things happen in some people's lives hormonally and other things where they just don't feel like they have a need for sex anymore. And since they don't have that need, they think their spouse shouldn't have it. Does that mean your spouse won't have it? Just because you don't have it? So, well, I don't feel anything in that area. Well, maybe they still do. And the Bible gives us, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it gives us some pretty strong instructions about to render due affection to one another, and that's physical as well as emotional. All right, and the Bible says that my body doesn't belong to me, but to who? Her. In that area. In that area. I belong to Jesus, but in that area, my body belongs to her in the area of sexuality. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean you're to be somebody's love slave and get into all this weird stuff. If that's what's happening, then call us. Okay? Call Pastor Roy. All right? And we'll try to help. So let's don't go that far with it. And there may be some people that's happening, and I understand. Call us. Call Bob, Pastor Bob. And we'll try to get you help in that area. We've got to get your spouse in the right balance to show that love is not selfishness, however it's manifest. Okay? But listen, brothers and sisters, I mean, I have thought about this a lot of times, and let me tell you, I can't get too intimate on this because I don't have permission. But one of the things that I appreciate is when somebody will do something for you when it's not necessarily a need that they have. And they could look at you and they could say, you know, I'm sorry, I just don't feel those feelings anymore. You know what I mean? And you go, well, I sure understand that. I really do. But it's not that mechanically you can't do anything. It's just not anything that's really operating in your body anymore. And you know what? I don't like feet very much. But if one of the ways that the Lord shows me I'm to love you is to wash your feet, what am I going to tell them? Well, I don't like feet. They smell. They're dirty. They have stuff in between the toes. You know what I'm saying? I don't like washing people's feet. Well, if the Lord tells me to do that, then I do that. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so, brothers and sisters, and this is a two-way street between husbands and wives, because I know this where it's affecting wives, and the husbands are at that place. I know at a place where it's affecting husbands and the wives are at that place. All right, but you know, if you need to wash your spouse's feet, wash their feet. Even if, whether you feel like it or whether you don't. You understand what I'm saying? And yes, these things are going to be hard to do if you don't have the third point in mind. Okay, which is the third point is, you got to meet the need through agape love. These things aren't natural to us as humans. Our natural thing to us as humans is, well, I'm not going to do that. I don't have that need. Why should you have it? Man, I don't like cutting the grass. You know what I mean? I don't like doing those kind of things. I don't want to do those kind of things. And I did that with her for a long time. I don't want to do that. I don't like doing that. I don't want to do that. I don't feel like doing that. And you know what? I'm going to read a couple of things that I wrote down to you, and then we're done. I know somebody said, thank God I'll never come back here. Again, listen. Not feeling it is never an excuse not to love in the manner God commands us to love. Not feeling it. I just ain't feeling it. We'll get over it and go to a higher level. Not wanting to is never an excuse not to love in the manner God commands us. I just don't want to. Well, let me tell you, if we're going to live according to what you want, we are in trouble. We're going to live according to what who wants? He wants.
Amen.
Unforgiveness is never an excuse not to love in the manner God commands us to love. Is it? Now, if you're facing a situation that involves one of these three motives for not loving, the problem doesn't lie with your spouse or the other person in your life. It lies between you and God. And that's where it's got to be dealt with. The only way that we can get past where we are is to allow God's love to flow through us to meet the needs of other people in our life. You say, now, wait a minute, Pastor. Wait a minute. What about my needs? You do have them, and I understand that. God created you with needs. He created us with needs, okay, so that He could show, because He is love, and He wanted us to be able to know His love. So He created us where we would need His love, and that's how we know it. If we didn't need it, we'd say, well, thank you, I don't need it. No thanks. It's all right. But I understand you have needs, but stop deifying them. They're real and they need to be met, but as long as you deify them and say, well, until I get my needs met, I'm not going to do anything. As long as you live that way, you'll probably never get your need met. Okay? So what you got to do is you got to start trying to meet somebody else's need and trust God to meet yours. Well, that's not good enough for me. Well, then continue on the pathway that thou art on. Okay? Thou will be divorced or a bitter marriage before it's all over with. Living in separate rooms, hallelujah. Married in name only. And that's not what God wants. There are some people who've gotten so used to their dynamic, they say, well, I've tried everything. And I'm like, is this the way God wants you to live? Well, I'm afraid. Don't be afraid. God says He wants to help. He wants to help. It may require you taking some steps, but He wants to help. But you know how I got my need met? Because my needs weren't being met either in that early days of our marriage. And you know how I got mine met? By laying down what I was focused on myself. Because that's all I was doing was how it was affecting me. Focusing on myself and start focusing on what God was saying. And working on doing it. And then the next thing you know, He starts bringing about some changes.
Amen.
And I'm not saying that will happen overnight. But I'm saying if you will sow, you will reap. If you faint, what? Not. If you faint, not. Now, I'm not talking about people that have legitimate, and when I'm talking about sexual things, some people have legitimate physical illnesses that the thing itself is impossible. But if it's not impossible, and you're just going, well, I just don't feel it. Well, is that really what agape love would say? Is that what agape would say? That's all I'm going to ask you. All right? Does Zach, this shouldn't be funny to you. You're not even married. He pointed to Josh now. Josh did it. No. But do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, we're going deeper now. We're not just going at the surface level. Most marriages that you know stay at the surface level, and you talk to them every day on the job. Well, we're not doing very good. Well, I think we're going to get a divorce. Why not? Well, she just doesn't do this, and she doesn't do that, and he doesn't do this, and he doesn't do that. How's that cycle going to get interrupted? Let me ask you, how's it going to get interrupted? Somebody's going to have to interrupt that cycle. Something's going to have to. And if you're going to sit around and wait on the other person to do it, then you're just being in disobedience. You're going to have to get to the place where you say, Lord, whatever you tell me to do, I will do. Because I don't want to have a problem between me and you. And I want to be like you. And that's the greatest desire in my life. I have a desire to be like you. And the devil will whisper and say, well, what about you? What about you? Is that what you hear? What about you? What about her? What's he going to do with her? What about her? When is she going to change? What about you? What about your needs? And then you have to say, the need I have right now is to obey the Lord. That's the need that I have. And if I'll open up my life to obedience to Him, then His love will flow into me. And I trust Him to meet my needs. Boy, I went through a period of time that was hard on me. It was hard on me to trust God to meet my needs. It was. I mean, I really did. I thought, do I trust God or do I not? And He said, trust me and I'll do it for you. And I was like, when? He goes, trust me and I'll do it for you. I said, how? He said, trust me and I'll do it for you. You don't need to know anymore. Everybody understand what I'm saying? Yeah. All right. So love is what? Meeting needs. Love is meeting needs. Love is action.